Jared, are you kind of a big dill?
Who got you that game?
I bought it.
Why did you get that game?
Well, actually, on day one of C2E2, I was just wandering, and I found up on the top floor the tavern area.
Yes.
And this guy was just playing this game with people. It's his game, so I'm like, you know what? It was fun enough that I enjoyed it. It was $20. I'll buy it.
Welcome to the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast, the only Survivor podcast that ain't no thing, Bobby boy. I'm your host, Stephen Labine, with my co-host, Jared Sheldon. Jared.
Did I forget something?
This was Marcus having a Joker meltdown during the challenge. You're not Marcus, Maddie.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I've already memory holed this episode and I watched it 2 days ago. Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh,
well,
no.
We're about to talk about it for an hour, so...
It'll jog my memory, I'm sure.
How you doing, Jared?
I'm doing pretty good. I had a relaxing weekend, unlike you.
Yeah.
Which, you had an exciting weekend, and you said there's a story you want to tell when I asked how you were, and you're like, okay, we just can't talk until we're on mics. So we sat in silence for 45 minutes, as you do.
We did not. Don't lie to the people at home.
What is the truth? I'll never tell.
Ask the government.
Ooh,
never mind.
Don't ask the government.
Don't.
Not right now. Maybe not ever. I mean, I don't really trust the government at the best of times.
The party will tell you what the truth is.
Do not believe your lying eyes. I think I might get a gun.
Jared.
Legally. Like,
don't.
This is America. We have the second. Like,
I'm aware, but.
Get a gun.
Don't.
I think if you go far enough left, you get your guns back, you know?
I will not support you. I won't be in your... I've never been in your condo. I won't be in your condo if you have a gun.
Well, it'll be locked up.
I'm aware.
That's a weird line to draw.
I don't think so.
For a locked up one?
How do I know it's always locked up?
How do you know it's there at all if I don't tell you?
That's even worse.
Maybe I'm made of guns, Steven.
What is this? Enter the Gungeon?
That's a great game.
Two...
They're making a second one.
It's coming out on Switch 2, though, so...
I know.
Looks like I gotta get a Switch 2.
It's gonna cost you $1,700.
Well, I'm hoping that they have found this window and are gonna ship a bunch of Switches into America and just hold them in place until June.
Sure, that's how manufacturing works.
Well, no, they already have, like, a lot of their supply built already. They're not, like, ramping up supply...
That's assuming a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
One, corporations won't take advantage of just the excuse to raise prices and say, volatility and tariffs, bad bet.
Mm-hmm.
Two, they're not going to price in the risk later down the road that, like, well, we can't, if it's going to be $600 without tariffs and $800 with them, let's just make them always $800 so that we don't jack up prices and we just set a new standard.
Listen, I'm all for blame the president, because that's...
Oh, blame the corporations, too, to be clear.
Yeah. But if we're going Nintendo jacks it up $20, the tariffs jack it up $20, I'm all for put the 40 on the president.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and yeah. I also hate corporations, if so it's really like... Which is, they're all bad.
If it's egregious, yeah, absolutely.
Not equally bad, to be clear. Not equally bad. Nintendo hasn't committed human rights abuses that I'm aware of, at least not in the last, like, couple decades.
Right. I was like, maybe. Who knows?
I don't want to know what they were doing in the 40s. I don't want to know. That's none of my business.
Well, do you want to know a story, Jared?
Yeah, tell me a story, Steven.
So, like we said in the last episode, I went to C2E2. I went all weekend-ish. I kind of slow-rolled it on Saturday and Sunday because I was tired. And,
yeah.
Like... I live very far away, so...
Well, comparatively speaking to most of the people at the convention, you do not.
Right.
But it's like an hour commute.
Most people at the convention were in a hotel within 20 minutes of the convention center.
True.
I was an hour plus away.
Hour train ride or so, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Slow played it. I did Friday with Jared, saw a bunch of things, did the talent show... It was great. It was a good Friday. Saturday was more of a, all right, let's see what I can see. Let's do what I can do. I went to the cosplay competition.
What'd you cosplay as? Is this Digimon Day?
No. Yes, this was Digimon Day.
Okay.
I did not enter the cosplay contest. Let's be clear.
You entered the Gungeon instead.
There you go. No, it was the like official competition. And what I didn't realize was that Chicago is like the end of the line for their competitions.
Oh, okay.
So they had not only the Chicago competition, they had the U.S. competition.
Oh, interesting.
And then after that, they had the world competition. Jared's noticing things behind me.
I am noticing something behind you, actually.
What do you see?
I see a clear Pokeball that looks like a trophy.
Yeah.
And has something inside of it. It has a Pokemon inside of it, I assume.
It has a Pokemon inside of it.
Whoa, that thing's fucking cool.
Yeah, it lights up and it's Greninja on the inside.
This is heavy. Okay, so if you ever went to like flea markets or like sketchy quote unquote like oriental shops when you're on vacation as a kid, I think that's pretty sure that's what they were called. They have those like glass or like, I don't know what it actually is, but looks like glass material.
That's definitely glass.
Where they have like air bubbles that they've moved or done something. I don't know how they're made. It's magic to me. But have like a tiger inside of it or something like that. This is a Pokeball shaped one with Greninja inside. First of all, you could kill a man with this.
You absolutely. It's very heavy.
Second of all, yeah, you don't need a gun. You have this. This is cool.
It's really cool. And it lights up. The base needs three AAA batteries for whatever reason. And I have two AAA batteries. So I gotta get a new battery. But it also has a USB-C plug, but not a rechargeable battery.
You can get rechargeable AAAs, by the way.
Right. That's, yeah.
But that's, did you win that?
No, I bought that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I spent a lot of money, Jaren. Like,
how much, roughly?
Probably $400 total.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I spent close to $200 in the one day, but I also knew I was only going for one day.
Yeah. Between food and the cool ass flannel that I got, I love that flannel. It's great.
It's a flannel with a cartridge, like obviously like blown up, if not to scale, of Pokemon Red with Charizard on it.
And then that thing, which wasn't actually as expensive as I thought it was going to be, that was $40.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
No. And then a couple Uber Lyft rides.
Oh, sure.
That kind of brought it up there. But the kicker and...
Yes, the cosplay competition. I interrupted you with my eyes.
Sorry. We went through my finances for a bit. I'll finish the finances talk in our promotion section.
This is a mess.
I know. It's a mess. It's a lot.
This is how I know you don't have ADHD, because you can't start four stories at the same time.
A lot happened. Cosplay competition, they did the Chicago competition into the U.S. competition into the world competition.
Whoa.
It was a lot, but a lot of cool-ass costumes, though. And
so when you say those three things separately, was it like only Chicago locals competed in the Chicago one?
Not locals, but people who were here at the con. Like, they had to... anyone could enter if you were there at the con.
Sure.
But... The winner from that competition went on to face people who won the New York Comic Con.
I see. Okay.
Emerald City Con, one in Florida, like Super Something Con.
Sure, yeah. All the other nerd conventions.
Yeah, I think there were like five total.
Sure.
And then the winner of that one went on to face one from London, one from Spain, one from South Africa, and one from Australia.
Okay.
So it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
To see that run through the ranks.
What was the cosplay that won it all?
It was a Halsin from Australia. And I actually got a decent picture, so I'll pull it up
here. What is Halsin, Steven?
From Baldur's Gate.
There you go.
There you go.
Oh, interesting. It's good.
I think the picture doesn't do it justice. They show a video of like how it came to be and like all the details up close.
Okay.
And this person from Australia hand dyed all of the fabrics.
That's pretty cool.
Handmade everything. Has the lantern that they made too, which worked and was really cool.
Okay.
The crown part, that's the trophy. That's not part of the cosplay.
I would have expected something more that is impressive as hell. Do not hear what I'm not saying. I just would have expected something that was like a mech suit, basically.
Oh, yeah. There were a few of those. One of the high-placing ones from Chicago was a Krampus that was very... it was huge, and it was very elaborate, and it moved very creepily. Like, I did not like it, but it was awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was fun. That took up a long period of time because, my God, there is no online, like, waitlist anything. So you had to sit for... And I kid you not, an hour and a half.
Yikes.
If you were not a VIP.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Hour and a half might even be underselling it because it was a lot.
Yeah, that's too much.
I tried waiting for the Baldur's Gate panel, and I realized, oh, they already let in a bunch of people. I was there 45 minutes early. I was waiting in line for the overflow.
Wow.
I'm not doing that.
They had good stuff this year.
They had good stuff.
Like, I don't really care about panels that much of, like, celebrities. Like, that's just, it's not my thing. I don't really care about celebrities in general. I want to hear about their experiences, I guess, but I'm not just like, oh my God, there's the person that I saw on the thing. I'm like, okay. But, like, for people that like that kind of stuff, they had Lord of the Rings, they had some of the Baldur's Gate voice actors. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the other ones, but there was, like, impressive stuff this year.
There was the, like, first ever reunion of The Breakfast Club.
That's right.
Which is kind of cool.
That's kind of crazy. That's a 50-year-old movie, 40-year-old movie that this is the first time?
This is the first time they were all together on the stage.
Wow. I think they would have done something since then, you know?
I know, right? Yeah, they all went different directions. Some did more acting. Most did more acting.
Yeah.
All did more acting. That wasn't the story I was getting to.
Oh, okay.
Sunday, and the reason why I rage quit that con. Not rage quit. It's the thing that sent me home. I went to a thing that I was kind of looking forward to. It was advertised as a 90s retro trivia game show with Nintendo elements and trivia involved. A la, like, Double Dare.
Okay.
Which... in theory, awesome. I was in a Legends of the Hidden Temple cosplay, so I was like, this works perfect. I'm going to go to this. One, they had technical problems in their setup. Whatever. That sucks. They only got in a half hour before they started. I get it.
That's the crux of sharing space and all that, yeah.
Yep. And then the self-inflicted wound started.
Ah, yes.
And I'm gonna say what happened, and you tell me where you see an issue, Jared.
Okay, do you want me to stop you when you get there, or do you want me to just wait till you're done?
You go ahead and stop me when you get
there. Okay, great.
So, you're doing a show based on 90s nostalgia.
Uh-huh.
You have two teams of two contestants.
So far, so good.
Great. You pick your teams. One team is... two adults,
the fact you had to specify adults makes me nervous.
A very vocal and pretty obnoxious vendor.
Okay.
And a woman who was very clearly there with her husband. The other team, a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old.
Yeah, no, that's... yep, I found it. Right there. We had the same experience at the improv D&D thing we went to, where they put a kid on stage, and it was cute and it was fun, and then the dad ended up taking her spot because she got bored.
Yeah.
And it was fine. Honestly, mostly it was like, it was the DM that I don't think handled it incredibly well.
Right.
But, hey, kids are unpredictable on stage.
And both the kids were good sports. They just weren't built for 90s or Nintendo trivia.
Yeah, they weren't alive.
They weren't alive for this.
I was hardly alive for it.
So, that aside, they struggled. On the flip side, the vendor guy on the other team was so obnoxious, I had to get up and leave.
Oh.
He was actively, like, shouting all of the answers. He was hitting on his partner, who was married, and his... Her husband was right over there.
You did a good job of Easter egging your description of them, because you made sure to say a woman who was there with her husband and adults early in that. And now I see. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, he tried to take over that panel, essentially. It got to the point where I'm like, I need to go. I'm so uncomfortable. I don't find this fun.
The cringe in you, or the person who does not like cringe inside of you, was dying.
Well, it got to the point where the score was like 15-2.
That's when you pivot. Like, if you're a good host, I didn't see it. I'm not saying they necessarily did a bad job, but like that's when you pivot. You do something else. You congratulate them. You send them up or you send them away. You reset the scores and you pick four more people.
When it became increasingly obvious that that was not going to happen, that's when I left.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I get it. Some things don't go as planned. However, you could avoid making yourself a problem.
But it's not a sport. Like, you can't do that in, like, you know, the high school games you ref. Like, when something gets out of hand and it's, like, you know, 36-3 or whatever, you can't be like, all right, mercy rule, game's over. Like, I know they, like, run the clock, but you're not just, like, ending it. There's no replacement. But this is an entertainment product, not a competition product.
Uh-huh.
Do something else. If it's no longer entertaining, stop doing it.
Stop doing it.
If I took our own advice, this podcast would have been dead a long time ago, but
no,
that's okay.
It's entertaining because people clearly listen to it.
That's fair. Thank you all.
Yeah. Anyway, I just have, as someone who runs games and like does things like that, it really bothered me.
Yeah. We are harsher critics because we do it. Like we've been in different legs of entertainment. So when we see it done poorly, it hurts.
Figure something out.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's that. I overall had a great time. Had a great 2.5 days.
I think one day, maybe two, is the right amount of days for me to be there.
I think, yeah. 1.5 is usually where I start to get real tired. But I don't know. Sitting in a line for 2 hours kind of made me feel okay. I was like, okay,
that's fair.
Fine. Anyway, you know what else makes me feel fine? Emails. Nice. If you want to email us, feel free to do so. SurvivorTBT@gmail.com, or you can message us on Reddit, u/SurvivorTBT, or on Patreon. And I'm going to say it right now. Thank you to our new Patreon member, Katrin. Thank you, Katrin.
Thank you, Katrin. And just let me say, that's a professional right there, ladies and gentlemen. That segue, professional.
Ah, chef's kiss.
Sorry, ladies, gentlemen, neither, both, and in between.
That's your new thing.
It gets everyone. Neither both or in between.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, wanted to thank Katrin. Also, going to our emails here. First from Tyler. Tyler says, EW originally ranked Micronesia as number 2 and then tied for number 1 with Borneo.
That's so wild to put Borneo number 1.
It's
objectively not the best season. It's not even close.
I agree. The Wire ranked it number 6 out of 27. It was ranked number 2 on the fan site. Survivor Oz in 2012 and 2013, also number 2. Number 4 in 2014 and number 5 in 2015. Number 5 by the Purple Rock podcast. Number 4 out of 30 by the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast in 2015. And number 4 out of 40 in the 2021 update.
What was going on in like 2014, 2015 for all these places to put out their rankings then? So 40 was 2019, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like it was like, yes, it's the end of the era.
It was probably just this group is doing it. I want to do mine.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right.
Some of those things just kind of domino each other.
True.
Number 7 out of 40 by Inside Survivor and number 1 out of 47 by TV Line.
Wow, okay. Okay, TV Line.
All right, TV Line, go off. Looking forward to it next week.
Thank you.
Moving on to Josh. Josh says, I don't know how serious you are about watching Australian Survivor on the Patreon, but if you are, I just warn you that each season is around 24 episodes long, with each episode being around an hour. So it would be a large endeavor that you would take up a large portion of your time. That's a good point, and I appreciate you saying that.
That is a foreboding warning.
I do think Corinne being performatively mean is her personality and not as much of an act as you think it is. Kind of like a Howard Stern or Johnny Fairplay. For a while, she had a segment on Rob Has a Podcast where he'd bring her in to roast that season's cast, which I've compared to your episode 1 roastings you do.
Oh, okay. I don't know how to feel about that.
I've also heard some future survivors say being roasted by Randy online is kind of like a rite of passage.
That's fair. That makes a lot of sense for Randy.
The only source for Ace almost being on Heroes versus Villains is Ace.
That makes sense.
And I think he was probably just exaggerating / being misinterpreted. I do think if he had made the merge, he probably would have made it on.
One episode away.
One
Well, not the merge, but the jury. This isn't a merge, but I think they like made the jury would have been enough.
Oh, Randy adopted a puppy and named it after Dan when he passed away.
Oh.
That's both very sweet and very not at the same time.
Why not?
Because he's literally calling Dan a puppy dog.
Well, I mean, yeah, but we said that
posthumously.
Yeah, but like, I think that's a positive thing. Yeah. Like, golden, like, we called Dan a golden retriever. One of our listeners did, and I strongly agree with it. I like, that's man's best friend.
Dan's best friend. Dan.
Man's Dan, best Dan.
Man's best Dan. Anyway, one of the deleted scenes, which I can't find online currently, is him talking about one of his dogs that passed away, which I do kind of wish had made it into the episode somehow, because I remember it being a humanizing moment. He kind of needs some humanizing moments at this time.
He could be one of the villains. He could. I think we still need a couple of villainous men. Interesting.
In my experience, it is usually more powerful to know who has the idol than to flush it, where then you have no idea where it is. I think this is the idea Marcus was trying to articulate of why he wanted to keep Sugar safe. This is more of a thought that comes after watching 48 seasons of US Survivor, plus many international ones as well. So I wouldn't expect players this season to think that way.
Yeah, you know what? You say that, I kind of agree, because my rebuttal to that at the time, and even now, like, instinctually was, well, she has the idol, so she won't go home.
Sure.
Ozzy. Jason. Like, it's, that doesn't mean that she's going to use it and keep herself safe.
Right.
So, yeah, okay.
Who knows? It's all about not just having the idol, how you use it.
Well, and, like, it's not like Sugar's a threat post-merge challenge-wise, so you guarantee you keeping somebody else that you're not worried about, at least in challenges.
Yeah. Moving on to an email from Katrin. Katrin says, almost caught up. Hello, on April 5th, on the one-year anniversary of my Survivor binge of 2024, I began my journey through your podcast from the beginning. Full disclosure, I did skip Thailand.
That's fair.
As I haven't actually ever seen that season and feel no need to fix that. Yep. You know what? I get it. I've spent the last 9 days catching up and am currently listening to episode 5 of China. I hope to be fully caught up before y'all post on Thursday. Just want to say...
Wait, I'm sorry. Am I understanding this correctly? That they started listening to us on April... What?
April 5th.
That cannot... They started listening to us on April 5th of 2025, and they got through everything, or up to China in... 10 days?
It does kind of sound like that.
That cannot be true. That we have 16 seasons they listened to like 13 of them because they skipped Thailand and maybe 14. That cannot be true.
Katrin, you're a rock star. Way to go. Don't let Jared bring you down.
I feel like Brennan in that breaking news segment when it's revealed that Grant sucked 50 dicks in one party. And he's just like, that. The logistics of that. Katrin, do you sleep? Is that... I hope they mean 2024. I hope that it's taken them a year. Because if not, I fear for you.
I don't. I champion you. To be fair, I think that Grant... Was it men that he gave oral? Or just people
it was,
that he
no,
gave?
No, it was blowjobs specifically.
Damn it. Okay. Yeah. Then... What do I know? Just want to say, really like the podcast. I wish more people were willing to undertake the ask that is podcasting about every episode of Survivor. You are only one of two podcasts that I'm aware of that started from the beginning, and the commitment is very much appreciated. Y'all have made me laugh many times, have brought information and perspective that I appreciated, and have made even the most painful seasons more entertaining. Keep up the great work. I'm excited to hear the rest of China and listen to Micronesia. Just wish I'd be catching up in time for Tokenshins rather than Gabon. Though maybe your coverage can also make me appreciate Gabon more. Thanks for all you do. Love the pod. Best. Katrin. The R is not a typo.
Thank you, Katrin.
P.S. I live in Chicago and love the hyper-specific local tangents. I feel like y'all have taught me a lot that I don't know about this city.
Oh, cool.
Hell yeah. Thank you. That's so awesome.
Wow. That's cool. Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much.
I love those moments where you're like, I have fully embarked on this journey with you.
I mean, when we started this, I was like, I had hope, obviously, but I was like, I think this is gonna die. Like, we'll keep doing it, but I don't think people are gonna be around with us.
No, they're along for the ride. You're hooked on phonics, baby.
You're stuck with us.
Moving on to an email from Tyler. Tyler says, information on Ace. On November 16th, 2008, Ace was arrested for disorderly intoxication, obstruction of an officer, and resisting arrest without violence after reportedly being tossed out of a bar in Naples, Florida for striking a woman.
I was so with him until that last
bit. Until that last part.
Until that last bit, I was like, that just sounds like a good time.
He was released later on the same day, so clearly nothing stuck. But yeah, there you go. Ace, a little bit of a dirtbag? More of a dirtbag than we knew.
Well, there's just these people sometimes that they come on, and I'm like, I'm just waiting for the shoe to drop. Like Joel last season, I was like, What crime has he committed? And turns out, I mean, Ace is one of them. All right.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware store. That's it.
That's all?
That's all. Bumper.
All right, so this episode came out on November 13th of 2008. Not a lot happened in the week between episodes. The first one being Taylor Swift releases her second album, Fearless. Great. Equity research done by Deutsche Bank states that Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, and Philippines should not experience a recession. I don't know if they did. And Germany did experience a recession. A lot of recession news.
We recessing. Assessing, recessing. I want recess. Can we, like, work recess into work weeks?
We need to work nap time in.
Ah, hell yeah.
T.I. is having a really good 2008 because he had the number one song before with Whatever You Like, and now he has the number one song again with Live Your Life by T.I. featuring Rihanna.
Just live your life. Hey,
is that actually the song?
Yeah.
Okay. Last time you did that for T.I., it wasn't, so I have to ask now. The top five movies were Soul Men, Zach and Miri Make a Porno, Changeling, Role Models, and Madagascar 2 Escape Africa. No, Madagascar Escape to Africa, but I'm breaking the rule because this was top five last week and I want to talk about it. It's number eight, High School Musical 3. Steven, there is a colon after High School Musical 3. What do you think High School Musical 3 blank?
Senior year?
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. Sorry. Okay. You asked the wrong person on this because I am not the super fan. However, a super fan is not too far away from us at this very moment.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I have watched High School Musical 3.
Amid preparations for a basketball championship, prom, and graduation, sweethearts Troy Bolton, Zac Efron, and Gabrielle Montez, Vanessa Hudgens, vow to savor every moment, knowing that college plans put the future of their relationship into question. An elaborate spring musical is just the thing for these two wildcats and the rest of their classmates to express their fears and hopes for the future. For these 30-year-olds playing high schoolers.
Yeah.
What do you think this rate on Rotten Tomatoes, Steven?
I was afraid you were going to ask me this question.
I do twice a week, really.
I think, legitimately, I think the second one is the best High School Musical.
I agree.
I think this one is not going to be as well received, even though it got like the full big budget release.
And then after this, they went straight to DVD.
Well, after this, they were done.
No.
High School Musical?
No, Steven. Oh, no, Steven.
Well, they did, like, spin-off movies. They didn't do a High School Musical 4, did they? Did they do a High School Musical 4?
I'm looking one.
Pretty sure they did not. Regardless, I'm gonna say my scores. I think that the critics probably panned this. So I'm going to go a critic score of 43, an audience score of much higher, 65.
You're low on both. Critic score of 64, audience score of 72.
Whoa!
People apparently like this movie.
All right.
The consensus being, it won't win many converts, but High School Musical 3 is bright, energetic, and well-crafted. Okay, so I was wrong. There's another movie, but it's Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure.
Exactly.
But there was a TV show. That's what it was.
There is a TV show, and I do know of the TV show. It's High School Musical, the musical, the series.
Yes.
Because it's a very ridiculous title. And you know what? the fact that they did it and the way that they did it is actually kind of interesting, because it's not about like those characters. It's mm-hmm. about kids in the high school that the movie was shot in doing the musical High School Musical.
Oh my God.
It's very like layered.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's also a list of books. There's books, Steven.
Sure.
High School Musical, the junior novel. Okay, we got to get out of this rabbit hole.
Anything else, Jared?
Dear God, no.
Then let's get on to the episode. Episode 7, Apple in the Garden of Eden. Gotta watch out for them snakes. Snakes in the garden. Jared's getting his notes.
I had to get my notes. It's fine.
Jared, what do you feel about this episode? Overall vibes?
So usually when they fuck with the merge, I'm against it. Because usually it feels cheap. I actually like this a lot.
Okay.
If you're worried about it being stagnant going into the merge, and you want to mix it up, I think this is how you do it. It doesn't feel like anybody got cheated. Like, it has the same dynamics. It feels like kind of what they were trying to do in Fiji when they were like, oh, send half of them to vote and not the other half. But just make them two separate tribes.
Right.
I think that's fine. And they still got their feast.
Yeah, they got their food.
Yeah.
Everyone was happy with the food.
It was a little predictable. Just like, I didn't know how, but pretty much right from the beginning, I knew Marcus was going home. Because we get so much of Marcus, and we've gotten almost nothing of him. And a lot of it was him talking about how safe he is and how much he's running the game. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there is no world in which we are getting all of this just for something else to happen when he's been buried for so long. This is the put them out to die episode.
Fair. So we start at Coda, and we're returning from their mandatory tribal. Remember, they did not lose a challenge, but they went to tribal anyway. And Marcus asks questions like, hey, how was that compared to your other tribals, to Randy? And Randy's like, the other ones were way easier. And Susie kind of chuckles at that. And Randy says, no, that wasn't meant to be funny. I didn't say it to get a laugh. Tonight wasn't fun. Think about what I say before you instantly start laughing, because not all the time I'm trying to be funny.
Then maybe don't say it sarcastically. Like, saying the others were easy makes it seem like it's kind... Like, there can be something real underneath it, but Randy, you spend 90% of your time making jokes. I don't think it's that weird for people to be laughing at it.
I don't either, and people use laughter as a deflection. People, yeah. Like, just because she is laughing doesn't mean she finds the situation funny. She may be uncomfortable. She may be, like, dealing with her own stuff. Nah, she's laughing at me and the things that I said because she doesn't understand what I say.
Well, and then on the flip side, boy, does Susie kind of suck. Like, obviously the two of them don't get along anyway, but, like, Susie's... like weirdness last episode of like the I was gonna vote for you, and then her non-committalness this episode, along with the monotoneness and complete delusion, it would seem, as to like her viability to win this game and position to win this game, is it's something.
Does she say anything about winning the game? She just wants to get to final three.
Fair, but she said in this episode and last episode a couple of times, like, her path to winning or something similar to
she
that.
Wants that money, baby.
I get it.
Give me that cash.
I want, like, she's doing the things I want a contestant like her to be doing. She's just doing them badly.
That's fair. I see what you're saying. I think that there was one point in this episode that was kind of manipulated to make Susie look worse than she actually is.
That's fair. And I guess I immediately feel bad for being harsh on her, because...
No, I think that what we saw last episode absolutely leads itself to that opinion.
Fair. Yeah, that was a travesty. But not everyone's going to be a good player. And I guess I can still appreciate her keeping her eye on the ball and trying, like, doing everything she can, you know? But she's boring. She's just boring.
Yeah. She's not playing the game the way everyone else is playing this game.
She's playing the game like it's season, like, 2.
Yes.
Like, if she take, like, the hard worker at camp route, which admittedly probably did save her, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, that and then worried about Dan as a threat and Dan's paranoia, like, probably kept her around and put her in this position this episode. And I don't want her settling for 6. Like, I like that conversation she has in this, where or maybe it's later, where she's talking to us and she's like, well, what's the point of making it to six? Like, if I get to six of these people, they're just going to vote me out at six.
Right. And she's correct. Like, I think if she gets to six, she's the first one gone.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, maybe you take out Randy from that six because he's kind of an outward snake, even though he's more loyal to you than Susie is.
I think she's more likely to go at seven or eight once you have the numbers locked down that you can pick off one of your own.
Sure.
Randy just really doesn't like her.
Yeah, and Randy finishes that conversation with, Dan was my friend, but he had to go. Got to get rid of him. Operation Clean Sweep. Us six versus those four.
Uh-huh.
And Marcus is kind of riled up about Susie. He says, you can't threaten to vote for Corinne. Like, you have to tell us if there's a problem, Susie. Tell us what you're thinking. Otherwise, we can't work with you.
Ooh, but I do like this part of the conversation, and I like Susie's play on it, where they're trying to get information out of her, and she's like, what, you want to know if I'm going to flip sooner? Mm-hmm. Which I was like, yeah, call it out directly. Like, don't let them do this beat around the bush shit. Like, just have a direct conversation at that point.
Yeah, what we're worried about is, will I sell you out sooner?
Yeah.
Boom. They may think they have all the power in this game, but my goal is to have me have all the power.
And at this point, I wrote down, Susie, what power do you think you have? And at the end of the episode, I'm still thinking, Susie, what power do you think you have? I mean, you're a 5-5. Maybe, but you're also at the bottom. No matter where you go, you are on the bottom, girl.
It's fair, but she controlled that vote.
It's true.
So, I don't know. Something to be said about that. At Fong, oh, man. Maddie's glad he stuck to his promise, but he's never going to corner himself with any packs on his girlfriend ever again.
Yeah, you shouldn't have done it in the first place if you actually were going to hold do it.
Sugar says, I trust Kenny way more than I trust Ace or ever trusted Ace. He let me know that Ace was going to throw me under the bus. I had to take him out ASAP. Yeah, we'll get back to that.
Yeah, hey, another Jared was immediately wrong, kind of, in that I was like, I called Kenny's move brilliant because it was unverifiable.
We have thus verified.
Whoops. I forgot about Maddie, who could verify it. Now, admittedly, that's after a tribe swap and, like, some shenanigans that, like, I don't know, maybe it wouldn't have happened in a merge situation. But it is amazing the speed at which I can be wrong.
It's, you know what? Impeccable. Every time. One episode after another. Just getting things wrong.
Keep them fucking coming, I guess.
Yeah, boy. Maddie then realizes, hey, this has come to a head, so it's me versus you, right, Crystal? And Crystal goes, no, that's dumb. Let's start over. Everything's fine. We're excited for Merge Feast tomorrow, and let's plan for the four of us to get to the final four. Good luck with that.
It's a good conversation.
Yeah. Also, don't tell them that Sugar has the idol. Don't do it.
Everyone fucking knows.
Well,
come on.
I don't know, because you could, and I don't know if they just didn't show this because they didn't want to, or it just hasn't come up yet because they didn't go to tribal. Sugar didn't go to tribal. You can use the ambiguity of Ace going home to play with that idol talk.
That's true.
Because Ace and Sugar, by all means, were aligned.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he vocally said it in the choosing people.
Yeah.
That was obviously day one, but still.
Well, they knew they were close when they were on Coda together. Before the first tribe swap.
Oh, sure.
Like, they were close that whole time, so. Yep. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you might be able to sell that.
Okay. We flip over to Coda, and Corinne still pissed at Susie. She holds grudges like none other, man. I plan on burying her as soon as possible. I'm a very vindictive person, and I will get my revenge.
Okay.
I will get my revenge.
If this is just, like, somebody, I can't remember who it was that wrote in, made the Johnny Fairplay comparison, and, like, if this is her kayfabe, I'm just not interested in it. Like, if it doesn't feel authentic, and it's not entertaining enough for me to watch it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I'd still buy it as, like, this being her. And maybe it is. Maybe this just is her. It feels put on.
It feels put on. And, like, but, like, even, like, Johnny Fairplay, like, that's put on.
Yeah.
But that's also kind of part of who he is putting on this shtick. But the shtick is good. So it works. And this shtick is kind of like bland and mean is a strange combination.
That's how I make my sandwiches. Bland and mean.
You only use unethically sourced meat. You go and hunt other people's chickens.
Hey, is that your chicken? Nah, my chicken now.
This podcast sponsored by Unethically Sourced Meat, which is also my stripper name.
That's actually our new Patreon goal. We're gonna start our own company. Unethical Meats.
Okay.
Jared, do you want to come up with the slogan for Unethical Meats?
Meat you will regret.
We'll workshop it.
Yeah, workshop it.
Oh, anyway, they get tree mail. They're invited to a beach bash.
Wait, no. It's just we've got the meats, but it's in... Because also stealing things is not ethical. We've got your meats. And it's in a demon voice. It's, we've got your meats.
The little thing, like...
Yeah, we might have something here, Steven.
Oh.
Okay, anyway.
Want to talk about a beach bash?
Yeah, let's go to the beach bash.
They're only allowed to take their personal items, and it's a brand new tribe, brand new game, a new way of survival.
It was funny watching some people be like, this thing I want to reward is my personal item, and put it in their backpack.
No. Put that back. You don't need it.
I was kind of hoping they'd just be at the beach for the rest of the
the series?
Season.
Yeah. Just live on the beach.
Why not?
Why not?
New area. Why not unlock a third area?
That's the DLC. You gotta pay for that. Anyway, they have a beautiful feast on the beach, and Maddie it was so nice. There's a secret basket, and you can only open it after you finish the feast. Once the basket is open, feast is done. No more food.
There is no reason for anyone to do this. But imagine if they just opened it right away just to fuck everyone else over. If GC was still here, GC would have done it.
No, GC wants food more than
anything else. That's fair.
He really desperately... The one person who is in position to do that would be Sugar.
True.
Because she is well-fed and on a bad situation.
But it's going to get you voted out immediately.
It will 100% get you voted out.
You will burn every bridge. Like... There's a rule in society that is honestly the reason why we're seeing some pushback on the current administration here in the United States. It's the universal rule of humanity. Don't fuck with the bag. You don't mess with the money.
Mm-hmm.
But the money in Survivor, besides being actual money, but while you're living there, is food.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with the bag. That will get you voted out 100% of the time.
Jared, I'm so excited for blowups in the future.
Oh, no.
Oh, Jared. Oh, no. I'm so excited. We're going to have good conversations about this.
Okay. Tanking the fish economy with tariffs on the ocean.
Randy says, I don't know what's in the box. All I know is it starts the gameplay and ends the fun, and I want some fun right now, so don't even look at that basket. Yeah. But also, underneath the basket, there's a clue to a hidden immunity idol, which was so close to being really important.
It's impossible to steal that away without people noticing,
mm-hmm.
I think. The clue's too big. Like, even if Charlie hadn't seen it, and Charlie being a shady bitch while Ken's trying to read it is hilarious. But even if, like, nobody else sees it, Ken's not getting that thing out from under there without somebody fucking seeing him.
Right.
Like, unless you take, like, a giant steak and slap it over top of it, but the piece of paper is just too big.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I agree. And Ken sees it, he spots it, he's trying to tell, who is it, Crystal?
That makes sense.
There's a thing right there, we gotta get it. And then Marcus sees the thing that they're looking at, and is like, hey, what's this thing? Takes it out, it's a clue, reads it to, oh no, Charlie. No.
Yeah, Charlie's the one who's like, what, Ken's reading it, and Charlie's like, hey, yep, right here, taking that from you. Yep. Gonna pass it around.
Just gonna read that out loud for everyone to see.
Ugh.
And then they go and they find the idol together. Randy finds it in like 7 seconds, he says.
And when the fuck are you gonna dig for this without people being like, hey, what are you doing over there?
Exactly.
Like, there's no way to get this secretly.
The thought process not fully thought through on this one.
I like that they're experimenting with it, though.
Yes.
I do like this idea. Execution needs some more time in the oven.
Mm-hmm. Fair. And so Randy has it. They say nobody wants it. We don't want to put this evil on anyone.
Well, Marcus calls everyone's bluff, I thought was really fun, at the table. Before they even start digging, he's like, well, you know, I don't think we need it. Why does anyone need it? It's fine. And everyone's like, yeah, no, because nobody wants to
look like that guy.
Well, no one wants to get that aggro on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bet they wish they would have. It's funny, especially that it's Marcus that's being like, we don't need it.
Yeah.
And then goes home.
There's a good quote at the end of this block that I think is great. And Kenny in particular says, I wanted it so bad, but if I take it, I look like a snake. Man, Maddie and Crystal wanted to. You bite the apple, you're thrown out of Eden. Great. So they put the idol in a bottle and they throw it out to sea. Randy calls himself the King of Gabon. He apologizes to President Bongo.
That is the real name. I just looked it up.
Okay.
That was the real name of the Gabonese president from 1967 until his death in 2009.
Hey, Randy knows his shit about presidents of African nations.
Apparently, he did his research.
And Marcus, to cap it all off, great. These people are so stupid. I got 10 people to throw an idol away. That's never been done before.
I would like to say, as stupid as this all is, remember, everyone is plastered.
Yes.
Everyone is drunk.
I threw an idol away in the bottle. Somebody in a... It's brilliant. I'm sending it to a different survivor. Someone's going to get
it. Oh my God, it washes up on the shore of Token Sheens, or I don't know where Token Sheens is, but there's like, I got an idol.
It's a message in a bottle. It's an idol.
All right.
Okay, we're moving on. They then open the basket. There are 10 numbered stones, and they are splitting themselves into two new tribes.
Hilarious.
People who drew an odd rock go to Fong. People who drew an even rock go to Coda. So Coda, new Coda, is Bob Marcus, Crystal, Kenny, and Susie. New Fong.
Bob Marcus, the new Bob Marley cover band.
New Fong, Randy, Charlie, Corinne, Sugar, and Maddie. So Coda, where we just were Coda, has a majority on both new tribes.
Which, the odds of that are so low.
Very low. Not obscenely low, but actually, I would have to sit and do some math. It might not be as low as I think it is.
I think it's really low. I mean, each tribe's 5 people, and they have 6. So the only split is 3-3 that gives them majority in each tribe. 4-2, 5-1, 6-0, then they only have majority on one tribe.
Sure.
Seems very low.
It does seem very low. I would have to do some math with this to see how many actual combinations would get us there.
It's one out of 10.
No. I get that. Combinations of the rock draw.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, they then go to their new homes, and at Coda, Marcus says, hey, we got to stay out of that council. We can't go there.
You sure can't, Marcus. You sure can.
You, in particular, shouldn't do it.
I just noticed in the scene, by the way, completely unrelated, Kenny's nails are so long. And I'm sure other people's nails have been gross before, but for some reason, Kenny's really stuck out to me.
Maybe he forgot to clip them before he went.
They were already long when he got there, and he's like, oh, shit.
Oh, no. I can't do anything about it now.
I'd be biting those fuckers off. I don't care.
Marcus immediately makes a connection with Crystal, that Crystal is the cousin of one of my best friends.
What a weird coincidence.
Yeah. You know what? If you're anything like your cousin, you're good people. And I want to keep you around. Hey, we should work together in the future. We got to get rid of Kenny. But going forward, great. I want to put you in. He says later that you're my new Susie. We just got to get through this vote.
And so, like, about Crystal real quick, because Crystal has a resurgence this episode.
Uh-huh.
If Crystal had gone home an episode ago or 2 episodes ago, she would be wasted, like, wasted potential. And the potential would only be based on, frankly, how she looks. And being an Olympic athlete, that she looks athletic, it feels like she should have done more. And, like, this Crystal in confessionals is like revitalized. She's ready to play the game. And it just, it always makes me wonder how many contestants I've been like, wow, they were really bad at Survivor, that they just never got their feet underneath them. And they just went home before they ever got to shine. And they would have in a different situation, because Crystal's situation changes. And now she's like the star of this episode.
The situation changes and she gets food in her.
Well, yeah, that's a big one,
the
too.
The two things we've been lacking.
Yeah, true.
And, yeah, Crystal says, hey, I'll give you my word. I'm not writing your name down, nor Bob, nor Kenny. But that was me playing the game, too. I told that to Ace, and you see how that turned out.
Okay, Crystal.
And then we flip to Fong. Charlie says, hey, great, we're still up 3-2 on either side. He and Corinne go off. They have a nice little conversation. Randy giving word to, was it Maddie? Hey, yeah, Charlie's all right. My first gay friend.
Okay.
Cool.
Gay that you knew of.
Exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh.
He's your first out of the closet friend.
Mm-hmm. And Charlie and Corinne just kind of reassure each other that they're still in a good spot. But yeah. Then they also talk. Oh, did they talk idol? I don't remember if they talk idol or not.
I think so. If they did, it wasn't super relevant. I mean, maybe a little bit with Sugar, but we don't get there, so it didn't stick out to me.
Yeah.
I felt like I knew Marcus was going home already, so I was like, whatever happens over here doesn't fully matter.
I don't care. Yeah. Maddie goes to Sugar. He's like, Kenny duped you. Like, Ace wasn't going to betray you at all. Maybe eventually, but he had no plans to betray you. And Sugar kind of breaks down. I feel so bad. I want to apologize to Ace.
Maybe I take it back. Maybe that lie is still unverifiable. Because Kenny could just say, yeah, he told us and not Maddie. Maybe she won't believe him.
Who's the last word?
Yeah, who's the last one that Sugar talks to?
Oh, man. Yeah, and then they talk about how they have each other's back. Great.
And Maddie doesn't even float the idea of using the idol to save himself. Of like, hey, they're going to be coming for me, probably, so like, why don't you like give me the idol if it comes to that? Now, maybe they did before, and maybe they would have if they went to tribal.
No, but he was very clear about his wording.
But he said, you have, if you, I'll tell you if it's you so that you can use the idol, and you tell me if it's me so I can figure something out.
Yeah, I'll maneuver, or I guess.
Will you? What is your plan, Maddie?
But you're not putting it into her brain that I'm relying on you to give me the idol. And if you come up with that idea on your own, great. Awesome.
Sure. Yeah, okay. I can see the strategy in that. I am of the opinion that was not Maddie's intention, and he just is somebody that thinks... I think it's like 80% of men, myself included, think that they could land a plane in an emergency. I feel like it's one of those situations where it's like, I'll maneuver. I'm built different.
He could also be the... Hey, what's yours is yours. What's mine is mine. Sure. I have no intention of you using that idol on me.
Or thinking the last time somebody mentioned taking an idol from Sugar, she voted them out.
That is a good point, my friend. Back at Coda, we have tree logs and Bob stories. Susie's out collecting wood and talking to Marcus, and she's really rallying to get into the top three here. Like, give me some sense of security. It's one thing to be top six, but I want to be in the top three.
But first, and maybe this is part of her negotiation, but if it is, this isn't how you negotiate on Survivor, in my opinion. He asks her, like, so where are you leaning? And she goes, I could go anywhere. What?
This is the one where I think they edited it a little bit.
Okay.
I think she was talking about how she could go either Crystal or Kenny. Or no. Yeah, those are the two that are there.
Okay. If that's the case, that makes way more sense.
Uh-huh.
But then again, she just said the Corinne shit fucking yesterday.
Right.
So it's at least believable.
It is believable.
That she's saying I could go either side.
The way that there wasn't really a blow up, like nothing came of that, Marcus, it feels edited around.
He doesn't trust her.
He does not trust her even slightly. Like, he wants to get Crystal in so that he can just take her out.
Do you think Dan would have voted the way Susie did?
Yes. Or no, sorry. I think Dan would have voted differently than Susie would have.
I think so too. Like, Dan going home is the reason Marcus goes home, in my opinion. And last episode is like the prequel episode to this one. Obviously, every episode, that's how they come sequentially. But like some episodes feel like the like they're setting up the next episode rather than like they're being their own super important episode.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like for last episode to this one.
Sure. Okay. Back at Fong, they float the idea of, hey, what if we lose on purpose so that we can save Marcus? Like, don't even put it up into Susie's hands. And we can take out Maddie because we control the numbers here.
Thank God they have the idol.
Yeah.
And they took the note that I had from China, which is, if you're going to do this late in the game, it has to be an individual challenge that wins it for your tribe. Like, one person has to be able to win the challenge on their own to prevent this exact situation.
Sure. Okay. Anyway, we go to immunity challenge. First, we say that we changed our tribe name. Fong is such a bad connotation. It's Fang now.
Jeff makes fun of them about that next episode in the next time on.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
So Corinne, we don't want to be any part of Fong. It's Fang. And Maddie's like, I don't know. Fang, I'm trapped in the ghetto. I just want to get out of here, man.
You know what? Fair enough.
Fair. And then we get to the challenge. They have to hold two poles against vertical boards. The boards are horizontal. The poles are vertical.
Yes.
And if you release your hands even like a little bit or they move away, those poles are going to fall.
And the poles are on the back of the hands. I don't yes. know if you said that. Yeah, that's so much harder.
It's very difficult. And last person standing, or if you lose all of the people on your tribe, then the other tribe wins. So, we get everyone locked in, and Crystal falls within a second.
Come on, Crystal. Come on.
This challenge is not for everyone. Sugar also...
There hasn't been a challenge that's for her.
You're right. Sugar also falls pretty early, like it's 10 seconds in. And then we actually lock in, and people are struggling. This is a challenge that would not last a long time. Like, no one is doing this for hours.
No.
But then we get, like, we drop people here and there, and then we get down to Maddie versus Bob, of all people.
Yeah. Okay. You got that old man strength.
You got that old man strength. And this is where I'm like, Maddie is going full on Joker mode.
I literally wrote down Maddie becoming the Joker.
Yeah. He's laughing and just becoming senseless with what he's doing. He's shouting random things at Bob to get him to fall, to the point that Jeff is pissed off and he's like, don't even listen to anybody else.
Yeah, Jeff, why are you taking sides?
He doesn't like to be upstaged, you see.
Oh, yeah, probably.
At this point.
I was sweating. Like, I knew who was going to win this. I knew Maddie was going to win this because I knew Marcus was going home. Like, it felt so inevitable at this point. But I was sweating. This is such a tense challenge.
Ain't no thing, Bobby boy.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
This challenge is coming back for sure. This is a good one.
Yes. We'll get there.
This is my favorite challenge of the season.
Okay. And like I said, Jeff says, don't listen to anyone. Not even me.
It's pretty funny.
Okay, great. And eventually Maddie gets to the point where he like, the thing almost falls off, but he catches the corner so it doesn't completely fall
off.
Crazy. Real lucky. Because then he holds on to that position until Bob falls.
Obviously, there's a lot of game to go. But that hanging on the quarter right there might have lost Marcus $1 million.
It might have. And it saved Maddie for at least an episode.
Well, right, yes.
Yeah. And, Bob drops. Fang wins. I'm just going to roll with it now.
Sure.
Yeah. So we then get to spend some time at Coda. And
that camp is cursed, huh? Fong's camp is cursed.
No, Fong won this
one. Fong won this time. Never mind. Okay.
Yeah.
I got who was on which tribe mix up. Not the people on each tribe. I forgot which one was which one at this point.
After your second tribe swap, it does get a little difficult to keep everything straight.
Fuck it. Let's just do one where we tribe swap every episode.
Let's just redraw every single time.
Fuck it. Why not? That'd be a fun premise.
It would be a fun premise, but also very hard to strategize.
Yeah. You got to make a lot of alliances.
It's you, me, and that person. Oh, no, they're gone. That person.
Get a season full of programmers so they can write if-then statements.
So Marcus is trying to push. All right, Ken's going tonight. We're golden. you, Crystal, you're part of the six now. We're getting rid of Susie. Crystal says, are your other four going to buy that? Oh, they'll be fine. People will want that. You're failing challenges. You're not that big of a threat.
Yeah, he says it's kind of helped that you've sucked at the challenges, which is true.
Which is true. Crystal says, you can't outwit Crystal Cox, baby.
What a cool name to say that with.
It's pretty great.
And yeah, he really misreads how loyal she is to Kenny. Because, if he would have said, let's get rid of Susie, she might have said yes.
She would have been on board. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But no, she's keeping her Kenny.
Yeah, no, they're like bonded.
Kenny G.
Ooh, smooth Kenny G.
Smooth Kenny G. So yeah, then there's this kind of show us where Susie's at headwise. She feels safer with Marcus. Everything's fine there. But she really wants to be in that three. And then Crystal, in the shelter, is laying there kind of whispering to Susie, hey, where are your head at? Like, what are you doing? Where can we go here? No, I'm really thinking of voting with Marcus. No. Marcus, you can't trust him. Like, he's not going to take you far. No, he promised me three. That's a bunch of... No, he's not taking you to three.
Yeah, he doesn't even believe it when he's saying it. No. So why would Susie?
Why should you believe that? Yeah, it's a great Hail Mary whispering in the tent. And it works.
Yeah. I mean, good for Crystal. She's playing for all of the struggles she's had and kind of blow-ups and all of that, and really has hit rock bottom several times.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really good episode from her.
Never stop fighting.
Never stop fighting.
Then we go to Tribal Council.
I just wrote out a couple things that I don't remember what they deal with.
Oh, sure.
A quote, you beat her, she's atrocious, which I think was, unless this was Tribal? No, this is Marcus talking to Crystal. Yeah, okay.
No, talking to Susie. Marcus is talking to Susie about voting Kenny over Crystal.
Oh, right. Yes, that's what it was.
Because,
okay.
Like, no, we got to vote out Kenny because Crystal is not a threat. You, Susie, beat Crystal. Like, she is no threat to us.
Yeah, okay.
Which is both a smart strategic move,
yes,
and a backhanded slap to Susie's face.
That's why I got confused, because it was the who was talking to who part of it. Okay, yep. I think that was the main thing, and just that Susie's so delusional about her place in this game.
Is Marcus too honest? Because he says to Crystal that she sucks. He says to Susie that she sucks.
I don't think so. I actually think he uses honesty really well. Because his one with Crystal was, you've done poorly at challenges thus far, and that actually makes it easier for you to get into our alliance. He does not say you are bad at them. Mm-hmm. He says you've underperformed so far. And then to Susie, he throws Crystal under the bus. It's the same truth, but it's a different story for each of them.
Okay.
I actually think Marcus is a pretty good Survivor player.
I agree. It's very heavy-handed Boston Rob, like, I am in control of this.
Yeah, but nice guy Boston Rob.
Yeah. Very different.
Closer to Tom, really.
Yeah, I'd say that's right. Anything else before Tribal?
No.
Okay. Crystal talks about corporate espionage, this new tribe swap, in that I'm here, I wear my suit, but what's really going on? Because I'm Fong. I'm from the projects.
Yeah, the old tribe was the projects. This tribe is corporate espionage. And it kind of is,
yeah,
in both cases. I mean, like, I would have never described it that way because that's kind of, like, it's racialized. Like, but that's, she chooses to frame it that way. But I think it, like, there is something to, like, they were so destitute in terms of rewards and food and just, like, kind of raw emotion and just, like, yelling at each other versus the smile on your face and stab you in the back.
Okay.
Bob, it's a really deft comparison. I like it.
It is a really nice comparison. Bob is interesting here because he outright says, I regret my last vote.
Yeah.
Thus saying, I wish we didn't get rid of Dan. I wish we got rid of Susie.
Yeah, that's a bad choice.
He doesn't actively say that, but that's the only logical conclusion there, unless he's going to vote someone who isn't in danger.
Right, yeah. No, it's a good point.
So I don't think that swayed Susie, but no, surely did not help.
No, I think Crystal kind of pushed on an open door of, like, hey, they don't value you. And she's like, that's kind of what I already believed. So, yeah.
Marcus is really funny here. Hey, we got to keep talking about, do you play for Emerge? Do you play for right now? And he says, no, we got to keep us physically strong in this tribe. And Ken goes, no, that's total bullshit. You are looking for the Merge. You don't care about this tribe. You're looking two steps ahead.
Yeah, because the Merge is probably next episode.
And Marcus slaps him down. We beat you 7 times in a row. Why would I want to change who I'm working with? No, sit your butt back down. And Susie says, I've made my decision and I'm okay with it.
Thanks, Susie.
We then vote. Marcus is voted out on a 3-2 line. How do you feel Marcus does in Future Survivor?
I mean, this is always the danger zone for Marcus.
Danger zone!
He's a leader, and he's a challenge beast. Or at least, like, I don't know if he's a challenge beast, but he's at least a strong competitor. We haven't seen him, like, be crazy good at challenges. But he's in the, you know, top 25% on any season in the challenges. So this is sort of the range in which I think he typically falls. A couple votes before the Merge, or a couple votes after. But he does have winner potential on the right season, which is weird because there's so many, like, man, it really is the haves and have-nots season, but for contestants. Like, Marcus, potential winner, and then a lot of people, potential first boots. And there's not as much stuff in the middle. Like, this is the part of the game Marcus has to survive through to get there, but if he's in the majority alliance, like, I don't think he makes it to the final four very often because of his threat.
Sure.
But if he has the majority alliance, he has the chance to win. And I think he'd do really well at a final tribal, actually.
Okay. So he does not come back. Mm. This is an interesting trivia fact. Marcus is the first contestant to reach the jury phase without ever being vulnerable at a pre-jury tribal council. Because he only went once. And he had the immunity necklace that one time.
Right.
So he was safe.
And
then, was also eliminated pre-merge.
Crazy.
Oh.
That's a unique set of circumstances.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Huh. He is the first contestant to win individual immunity twice in a single season and not make the Merge.
Jesus.
Which is, I guess, a weird way to do it. Yeah, and he does fill out a quarantine questionnaire. His big thing is that he regrets playing by the rules too much.
That's fair.
And after they faked the Nurge, I knew deep down that things were being put in motion to, like, make us... They didn't want it to be as clean as it looked like it
they
was
going to
be.
They wanted to mix it up, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So when we walked into the challenge after the Merge, or after the fake...
After the swap.
After the swap. I don't know why he called it the Merge. And Charlie and Corinne were looking at me to see if things were okay. I gave him a thumbs up. Jeff was giving us heavy pressure to keep our mouths shut in spite of how things were playing out and how ridiculous things were in terms of me being the obvious next person to go in my new camp. In spite of how unbalanced the setup was and knowing what was on the line, it was one of those moments where I should have stuck to my guns and spoken up about things, but I followed the rules instead.
What does he mean by that? Like, throw a fit at production?
I think he wanted to just, like, yeah, talk and say, they're trying to get me out. Like, I don't know.
Huh. Okay. Because, like, this is one of the switch-ups that feels completely fair to me.
Yeah. And I don't know what speaking up would do, because it wouldn't change his situation.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, well.
Maybe it just made him feel better. Like, just speaking your piece. I don't know.
Yeah. Something that will blow your minds. I don't know if it's mind-blowing, but I do wish the fans could have seen the deep, friendly, and positive relationship that we all had out there, including and especially Randy and Corinne.
Huh. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I think there is another level to Survivor where people who are sometimes misunderstood in real life find some true friends. I've always been a pretty big dork in different things for things I'm willing to consider, try, and explore. I'm open to lots of people. I think that Randy, Charlie, and Corinne and I found out that we all had a little outcast in ourselves and brought it together.
I mean, that's cute, and I want to take him at his word. I also think Marcus is the kind of guy, from my opinion of watching him on TV, that, like, watches Star Wars and then goes, I'm so nerdy.
I'm such a dork. Pushes up glasses.
Yeah. Watched like Star Wars one time.
I know a Star Wars. Anyway, yeah. He's not coming back.
No, yeah. I did want to note that one of the votes for him, I think it was from Crystal, was Mark-Ace.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That was pretty good.
That was for us.
Yeah.
That wasn't for him.
Your protagonist of the episode?
I think it's Crystal.
I think you're right.
Yeah. This is a good Crystal episode. I like her. She's funny.
I do too. We stan a Crystal.
But this season's still, man, it's still kind of bland. It's still a pretty bland season. I don't hate it. And it's, like I said, it's almost like refreshing to have a season that's not as good and it's not production fucking it up.
Yeah. I think allowing things to just play its natural course and it not working out perfectly is a good Survivor season.
I'm terrified that this and combination with Micronesia is going to teach them all of the wrong lessons.
What possibly could you mean, Jared?
Oh, no.
All right. Anything else you'd like to say?
No, that's it.
Cool. Bumper. That'll do it for this episode of the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast. Jared, what would you like to promote today?
So I'm going to get a little dark for a second, guys, and I'm sorry. I'm going to promote protesting in your area. You don't have to become an organizer or anything, but looking up protests of if you're in America. Someone was deported, an American, I don't think citizen, but resident, Kilmar Abrego Garcia, down to El Salvador. It's not from El Salvador. To what appears to be an extermination camp, or at best a very, very high security, morality prison.
Yeah.
But it's a camp that keeps taking more prisoners and never seems to get full and no one leaves. That's pretty fucking dark.
Yep.
I kind of hope we never get here, but one of the things that's scariest about this is that there was no due process followed. He was not supposed to be sent there. And
no, he had a court order that he could not be sent back to El Salvador,
but the plane was already over international waters. So
worst.
I try not to be somebody's fear mongering. I try not to, this isn't a politics podcast, even though life is political, but that's really fucking dark that anyone can just get, like, if it can happen to him, it can happen to anybody. You can get picked up and just disappeared.
Oh, no. The president is actively threatening doing it to his own citizens now.
Yeah.
He was caught on a hot mic, and now he's doubling down on it.
Yeah.
So, being forced onto a plane and removed from your country and sent to a camp where you're never going to return, that's real dark.
And even if you're like, oh, this doesn't affect me because of X, Y, or Z reason, the only legitimate reason it wouldn't affect you is if you don't live in the United States. We do have international listeners. I don't know what you guys can do about this, so sorry.
Maybe stay away from the U.S. for a bit.
Yeah, maybe don't travel here right now, actually. But the old poem from, unfortunately, Nazi Germany, at first they came for the socialists, but I did not speak up because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the communists, and I did not speak up because I was not a communist. And then at the end of it, there was no one to speak up for me.
Yeah, they came for me, and there was no one to speak up for me.
There's several more lines in there. But there are national protests happening. Find out if there's some in your area.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for the bummer. Steven, what about you?
Well, now I feel bad about it.
I should let you go first.
That's okay.
Uplift us, bring us some joy. We also need escapism.
Well, my thing isn't a joyful thing. It's also a word of warning, but a lighthearted word of warning.
Oh, C2E2, yes.
Yeah, so if you go to like a convention or anything where they're selling things or artists are selling things, there is a trend that has popped up in the last like four or five years of loot boxes.
Steven, I'm gonna really hurt you right now. That's a 15-year-old trend.
I know. Okay, fine. Anyway, don't do the loot boxes. They're not worth it.
Oh, like buy loot boxes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether they be virtual or physical ones, just don't buy them. They're never worth it. I did this time just to like, I don't know, I was curious, and most of it was crap. Most of it I don't care about. I did get this fun little pin from Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah.
We're out of time. I got a Doctor Who lanyard that I'm not going to use, a Thor hammer that I think I want to give to our D&D friend who does hammer things.
Oh, John, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to do that, but yeah, most of it, crap.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, well, I learned a lesson.
Yes, you did.
The lesson, don't do that.
Don't buy loot boxes.
Don't buy loot boxes. And loot boxes are inherently gambling and shouldn't be done in those situations.
I feel a little better when it's getting physical things no matter what.
Right.
But you're thinking of, like, video game gotcha stuff.
I mean, even that was kind of a gotcha thing. Most of it were probably free giveaways from other things.
Sure. Yeah, fair enough.
Anyway. For my co-host Jared, this is Steven.
For my host Steven, this is Jared.
Dark, dark times.
Dark times.
Bye-bye.
Stay silly.